When we communicate, of course, we want to win. We want to influence. We want to persuade. We want to motivate. Bottom line, non-sugar-coated version, if they don't like you, if you haven't connected with them, it doesn't matter what you have or your message or how you can help them, they will not do business with you. And of course, these techniques will work one-on-one. How do you connect at different levels with different people with different types of personalities? Let's get into it. Let's talk about it. Let's do this. How do you win an audience? There are a variety of factors we need to take a look at, but let's back up and talk about the core of persuasion, which is the subconscious trigger. You've heard me say this before, that up to 95% of all persuasion involves a subconscious trigger. It's a feeling. I like this person. I don't like this person. I trust this person. I don't trust this person. How do you win an audience? First of all, your audience is probably rooting for you. They want you to do a good job. They want you to solve their problem. That's why they're there. Every audience is either paying with their time or their money, and they would hope that it is worth their time or their money. Too many times we think that people are out to get you or make you look bad, and there might be a few people like that, but for the most part, most audiences, they're paying with their time or their money, and they want something for that investment. So what can we do? There's humor. Done a lot of studies on humor and persuasion and influence and connectivity. And if you get someone to smile on the inside, or even laugh with you, you have connected with them. It's very disarming. It's very contagious. Practice your humor. Because I know you've heard a joke before. You laughed. It was funny. You told somebody else, and it didn't work. With humor and your audience, one of two things is going to happen. They're going to laugh with you, or feel sorry for you for your lame attempt at humor. Anybody can use humor. You can learn to do this. There is a direct connection between your ability to get someone to laugh or smile, and when you change their mood, you have connected with them. Tell a personal story. We know that great persuaders and influencers are storytellers. They can make it come alive. A good story, not a long descriptive story, but a good story to win their hearts, to describe who you are. Stories persuade without detection. They help connect you with people. You can win an audience over by telling a great story. Are you credible in their eyes? Are you the expert? When you're the expert, there is very little persuasion resistance because you have the solution to their greatest problem, to their greatest challenge. Do you need to borrow credibility from somebody else? Do you need somebody else to introduce you? Get credibility. Make sure in their eyes, you are the expert. And a little word to the wise here, start acting like the expert. You are the expert. I bet right now you know 99% more than the average person about your topic, about your subject, about your product, or about your service. Then there's the old WIIFM. I know you've heard it before. Let me drill it into your brain. What's in it for me? Why should I care? That's what's going through their brain. How are you going to connect with them? How are you going to win them over if they don't feel there's a need for them to listen, that there's something there for them, some type of benefit that will change their life, improve their life, that will make them money, that will save them money? What's in it for them? We spend too much time vomiting all the features instead of really exploring the benefits. I know you've probably heard that before, but very few people do it. Why? It's worked in the past to vomit all the features because sometimes people can assign a benefit to it. For example, if I talk about a 400-horsepower car, a lot of you are like, well, okay, great. That is a feature. Nobody cares. But some of you are like, yeah, because you mentally can assign a benefit to the 400-horsepower. I would not assume, again, you're not supposed to do that, that they're going to assign a benefit to it because they might not. You need to do that for them. And then there's a smile. It's free, very disarming, very contagious. A smile. It's free. In a retail setting, it increases sales at least 20%. In telemarketing, it increases sales. It works. Not a cheesy fake one, but a sincere, genuine smile. It's very difficult for people to continue to hate you or not like you when you smile. The more you add, the better it is for you to win an audience, to help you communicate to win, to connect with any audience. But when you go into the core of human nature, we need to talk about esteem, self-esteem. Let me define this. It's how much you like yourself. We know when you give a presentation, when you communicate, when you persuade, that if you could help somebody feel better about themselves, the doors of persuasion swing open. Most people don't do that. When you look at the study, self-esteem is an all-time low. 2 out of 3 Americans suffer from low self-esteem, and I'd say right now that we all suffer low self-esteem in different aspects of our lives. But when you look at people that are in the third grade, 80% have healthy self-esteems. By the fifth grade, it's 20%. By the 12th grade, it's 5%. What's going on? I think there's two reasons why our culture suffers so greatly from low self-worth and low self-esteem is the media and advertising telling us how we should look, how we should smell, that we're never good enough or skinny enough. We see images of grooming, fashion, popularity, and attractiveness that we can never measure up to. These images constantly remind us that we need to improve ourselves and that there is always someone better than us. I think the second reason is we judge and measure ourselves not against our own norm, but against some other individual's norm. Basically, we always measure our weaknesses to other people's strengths. Help people feel better about themselves. When people feel that there's an acceptance, that you accept them unconditionally, that you're on the same team, the doors of persuasion, again, will swing open. It could be a compliment. It could be praise. It could be recognition. Any of these things will boost people's self-esteem. Now, since most people suffer from low self-esteem, they don't compliment. Think about that for a second. You need to check your ego in at the door. You need to learn to compliment. You need to learn to praise because it's free. It doesn't cost you anything, and it helps you connect with people, connect with an audience. So let's talk about the leverage of praise. Study was done at Hollins College, small college, where they could keep track of what everybody was wearing. And the male psychology students got together and they did a study. And here was the study. They would just compliment all the women wearing blue. Hey, you look good in blue. Hey, the blue brings out your eyes. And they kept track, and you got it. The amount of people wearing blue went up. Then they switched to red, and the statistics show that red increased. Learn to praise. It opens doors. It helps you connect with your audience. It boosts other people's self-esteem. It releases energy. That's what you want as a communicator, to have energy to boost their self-esteem. On the flip side, when there are negative comments about the audience or people in the audience or even people that aren't there, it takes the energy out of the room. I'd be very careful not to criticize the competition, to criticize other people, to pull people down, especially if they're not there. It hurts the energy in the room and it has a negative impact. So how do we praise? We know it works. Now, on a sad note, on the flip side, the scientific term here for praise is called ingratiation, which can mean brown nosing or bootlicking. It works. Even when we know that it's fake, it works. Ingratiators get higher pay. They get more promotions. I'm not saying that it's right. I don't want you to do that, but that's how hungry people are for praise and a compliment and a boost to their self-esteem. You look at children. All they want is a little attention, a little praise, a little compliment. And I think it's a crime when we withhold it. And I think that's true with adults too. Learn to praise. It's easy, it's simple, it's free, and it helps you connect with anyone. And keep that in the back of your mind that when you don't praise, it's because of your own low self-esteem. What's the formula here? Now, we know it works even though you don't use this formula, but when you really use this formula, it works a lot better. First one, make sure when you praise that you're positive. Your demeanor is positive, and you praise something positive. You wouldn't go to somebody at a family reunion and say, "Oh, you're still alive. Good for you. I thought for sure you'd have a heart attack by now. I thought for sure you'd be dead. Good for you, still alive." Yeah, I probably wouldn't use that one. So it's something positive. Your demeanor's positive, and you're praising something positive. Also, be specific. Don't say, "Hey, good job today." What does that mean? Because when people have low self-esteem, they'll refute it. "Yeah, whatever, okay, they're just saying that because they have to." Something they can't refute. Meaning, the way you handled the case XYZ, perfect. You handled it right and on time. They called me up, they are happy, good job. It was specific, they know that's what they did, they can't refute it, it increases your connection. Always be sincere. It makes a big difference when you praise people. Another important aspect is empathy. What is empathy? It's unconditional acceptance. You've accepted them as a person, as an audience, and they know it doesn't matter what they do, what they've done, what they say, what they're going to say, you accept them. When you look at the word empathy, it has Latin and Greek roots, which means to see through the eye of the other. You're in their shoes. Not sympathy. Anybody can be sympathetic. "Oh, you know, sorry your cat died." But you don't feel. But if you're there and you're in your shoes, you can see how they feel. That's true empathy. Sympathy is better than nothing, but you want to connect empathy because they know you know. You feel what they feel. They understand that, and the connection is made. Be empathetic. How do you show empathy? Talk about it. Approval. You approve where they're going, what they've accomplished, what they're doing. They feel your support. They feel your approval. You're showing them attention. You're giving them praise, and they have unconditional acceptance. They know even though they make a mistake or they blow it, that there's an acceptance there. Understand, human beings have a psychological need to be respected and accepted. We need affection to satisfy the need to belong. We want recognition to satisfy our need for personal worth. We want our ego stroked to enhance our feeling of importance. Now understand, most people won't admit this, but they need it. And it's a critical component in the persuasion process. I'd also take a look at optimism. Optimism connects you with people. You've met enough pessimistic people out there to know that it repels you. You don't want to be around them, and it sucks the life out of you. What is optimism? Optimism is more than a positive mental attitude. It's not constantly saying positive things to yourself and hoping they'll come true. Optimism is a frame of reference that governs how you look at the world. Optimism means having expectations that, you know, for the most part, things are going to turn out okay. Being optimistic means that you really believe you'll be able to accomplish everything you want to. Influence and optimism come together when you can transfer your hope and courage concerning the state of the world, the product, or yourself into the minds of your audience, so they are inclined to follow you. Optimism helps people perform better. Influential optimism means you see the positive in all situations. You look for ways to move forward. You don't focus on disappointment or negative feelings. People want to spend time with individuals who have a positive view on life. As an optimist, you see the world as a series of exciting challenges. You inspire positive feelings about everything you stand for. This mindset is contagious to your audience and helps empower them to believe in you and in themselves. In other words, let me put it to you this way. As an optimist, you help others see failure or a setback as temporary. Success will happen. On the flip side, a pessimist sees a setback as a permanent failure. Optimists know that when failure arises, they have something in their life they need to change. A pessimist calls it a weakness and never moves on. Optimism, then, is the ability to bounce back sooner rather than later or not at all. When you master optimism, you will have the ability to recover from any setback or failure with an easygoing nature. This is a rare quality that will take time to develop. Not only does an optimist help you influence others, but you also won't fall into a state of apathy or helplessness. You have to learn to control your pessimistic voice. We all have an optimistic and pessimistic voice inside of us. Which one do you listen to? Which one do you project to your audience? The studies show, like this was an ice water study. They had buckets of ice water, lots of ice, and had people stick their feet in there. And after a while, that's pretty painful. And they were just timing how long people would take. If there was nobody around, people didn't last very long. But when people were there, they were optimistic. You can do this. And they were encouraging them. They lasted quite a bit longer. Then we've heard about attitude. Yeah, attitude. But let me just put it to you this way. Attitude usually will start neutral. You get to decide what their attitude is going to be. Remember, attitude comes from expectations. If you expect that they're not going to listen, they're not going to like you, they're going to heckle you, they're going to pull you down, that they won't want what you're offering, that's probably true. Attitude gets reflected. Your attitude will get reflected to your audience, and they will reflect it back. Next one is vision. Vision is contagious. If they can't see where you're going or how you're going to help them or where they fit in, you won't be able to influence them and you will not be able to connect with them. With a strong vision, it eliminates fear and procrastination, and it creates courage and persistence. Have you ever been to a rah-rah meeting at a company and the CEO says, we're going to do this and this and this, and they're all excited, and then an hour later at the water cooler, everyone's all, oh, yeah, right, whatever, flavor of the month, let's go on, it'll go away, because his or her vision did not instill in the audience's mind. They couldn't see where they fit in. And I love what Walt Disney said. We can reach all our dreams. We just need the courage to pursue them. When you create a vision, you must think big. Make no little plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood, and probably themselves will not be realized. Your vision must bring commitment, have a coherent plan where they can see they fit in, and focus on the future. What is your homework? What do I want you to do? We talked about a lot of different things that can really connect you with people, connect you with an audience. What I want you to focus on is praise. Remember, praise is free. It costs you nothing. It opens the door to persuasion. So become aware that you're not giving it. Become aware that other people want it. Become aware that a lot of times people say things just to get a compliment or a little praise. You look at the common complaints in the workplace, the top five, not money, self-esteem issues. Criticize in public, doesn't appreciate what I do. I can go on and on about that, but this is a big issue. So become aware, number one, and compliment often. Every conversation you have, email, phone, face-to-face, I want you to praise. Find something little. Be sincere. Be genuine. Something positive. And compliment them. It takes practice to reprogram your brain to do this, and you'll be surprised in the long run how much more influential you are just by adding this persuasion tool. Do it, master it, and you'll be able to connect with anyone at any time.